never approved the agenda before, have we? Is that a new thing?
Yeah.
And we should have been.
Yeah.
Should have been.
Motion to approve the agenda for.
Thank you, Mel.
May meeting. Someone want to second that?
Seconded. All in favor?
Who seconded? Was that Cookie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, let's see, we have initial, we usually have initial public comments. Does anyone in the audience have a comment? Okay, so then we're going to open up the public hearing for the discussion.
I raised my hand. I'm sorry, can I make a comment?
Yes.
Thank you. I have a question. I know that the hearing about the art center was postponed until potentially next month, but there's some information that I want to know about it, and maybe it's already available, but I've been hearing, like, that it's called the Arts and Cultural Center and also the Arts and Agricultural Center, and I know there's supposed to be, like, an agricultural component. I just want to understand more about what the center is doing before public comment period. And I know, like, Curtis presented the plans and I saw those, but I'm just, like, curious more about the plans. Yeah, like, what's going to actually be happening there, if that's available.
Yes.
Do you want me to respond, or?
Yes.
Respond to anyone?
You.
Okay. Well, the working title is the Arts and Cultural Center, but there is an agricultural component, too. And that arose because Jackie had to go through a lengthy process with the holders, the conservation easement on the 296-acre range. And so one of the reasons they signed off on this use of the range was that it would have this agricultural education component to do two or three things, one of which would be to educate the community on the value of conservation easements as a conservation effort to preserve ag land. The second was for NRCS to be able to have a place where they can talk to the community, including, say, Escalante or something, because they have offices in Cambridge or in Ridgefield, and they wanted a place over here. And the same with the USU Extension Division, which collaborates with the State Department of Agriculture. And the holders of the conservation easement on the range are the Utah State Department of Agriculture and the Department of U.S. Department of Natural Resources. And so, and then the arts component is basically what you've seen through the Arts Council the last several years, which is basically an art gallery in the community center. Generally speaking, try to do some kind of a monthly program. They do re-granting programs so the locals can put in for a re-grant to, teach everything from, crafts to watercolor to pottery to whatever skill they have, copper, metalworking, and so forth. The Arts Council has sponsored all of those events, mainly at the community center. And so those are the two components. The working title, I don't know if it's really been settled what it'll be called yet, but right now it's the Arts and Cultural Center. And it will be located where the trailer is down on Highway 12 where you enter the range. That that trailer will be removed and the 4,000 square foot footprint, the way it sits right now, which is, I'm pretty sure the way it'll end up, is the trailer will be removed. And then it's not exactly where the trailer sits, but it's just a dot west of that, maybe 50 feet west of that. So basically they're same proximity to Highway 12. Are there any other questions, Tessa?
Looks
like we lost her for a minute. She's trying to get back in, though. I can see her trying to get back in. Okay.
All right, I wonder if she could hear that.
Yeah, let's give her just a second.
Hi, me?
Yes, you.
I missed all that, but I...
It'll be on the recording I will have posted. Will that help, or do you want him to explain it all again?
No, that's great. I can just get it from the recording. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
Esther, if you have any questions, just shoot me an email or give me a phone call.
Okay, thanks, Travis. I appreciate it.
Hey, I think there's any other public comments. So the next thing we're going to do is have a public hearing on the Sugarloaf Valley Farm Guest Grant CUP. I don't know, Curtis, if you we were going to maybe have you talk a little bit about it, but there's 15 of us on, right? And I don't see anybody basically from the public. Am I correct?
Well, if there's 15 on and there's
Ashley and Tessa and...
Oh, okay. All right. I lost them. Okay. Is Ashley still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Curtis, do you want to go, do you want to open it up a little bit as far as what we're doing tonight?
I think maybe the best way to do it is just have a staff report for those members of the public that have not seen the submittal that I emailed to the DC, and so I can briefly review that, and then... Sean Owens has joined the meeting, and so he can be available to answer any questions, or I can answer any technical questions, whatever. Okay. So I'll just introduce it very, very briefly, and then we can take it from there with Sean, or however you want to proceed, Colleen.
As far as opening up the public hearing?
Right.
Okay.
So what I'll do is, I'll introduce it, then you can open your public hearing.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to do the screen share, and hopefully that'll work. Okay, I'm going to start with the August minutes and review what was granted, what conditional use permit was granted in August. And basically, as you can see from the screen, these are the August minutes. It was, they were granted a conditional use permit for 3 separate dwellings, as described for them, separate housing units. The operation of the facilities are subject to all the terms and conditions found in Section 6 of the 2019-2 ordinance, which is the residential short-term rental ordinance, which is basically all the property management things that apply to the vacation rentals. And they were taken straight over, so they have to manage the property in the same manner. But they have a valid business license issued annually by the town of Boulder, and that they maintain a valid sales and transient tax license through the Utah State Tax Commission, and file their quarterly tax filings as appropriate, and make those available upon request. So that's what was granted in August of last year. And then let's review very quickly on a map so everybody understands the 3 units that were granted in August is number 101 here, if you can see my cursor, number 102 up here on the north, and then number 103, which is a 1-bedroom upstairs apartment above, I guess it's kind of a barn or a storage unit. What they are applying for now is unit number 104, which is in place but not installed. It's just stored there. And unit number 105, which is yet to be purchased. But they wanted permission to do 2 units, one of these three pads are already in, were in place. I guess they've been in place for a while, I'm not sure. But they're going to put 104 on the north pad, 105 on the south pad, and then they're going to keep the middle pad open as, I guess, a common space or separation or something. So the tiny houses look like this. They're a pre-manufactured unit, and they're on wheels, but to meet the ordinance, they would be taken off wheels and put on a permanent foundation so that they can become a, you know, a dwelling or a structure and not a trailer. And then they have provided the drawings and so forth. I don't know if you want to really go into those. The more important part, when it's new infrastructure, unlike the August application in Grantle, or the application was much earlier, but the granting of the conditional use in August, those three dwellings had been there since probably about 2000, and I don't have the history of exactly when each of them were built or how all that came down, but That all that infrastructure was in, all the septics were in, the parking was in, everything was there. And so it's a little bit different approving that. On this one, they have to follow Section 803, which is, because this is new infrastructure. So this outlines the requirements. So Section 803, the number one, so in normal type, that's the ordinance. In italics, that's their what they're submitting or what they're saying about it. And so they're saying, please see the attached maps, which we looked at and reviewed. The parking structure is, let's see, where is the parking? Okay, here's the two tiny house sites, and here's the two parking spots. If you can see my cursor up on the north end of the property. So those are the designated parking structures. The topographical map that they were required to do is that, let's see, okay, no. So yeah, number two is the topo map that they were required to do, and Torgerson Engineering did that, and that is very briefly. They satisfied that requirement here. The site is, as you can see from the topo lines, is almost dead flat. So there, the engineer has said there are no drainage issues, there are no other issues that the ordinance requires them to call out. And so they don't have to do anything in that regard. There are no slope issues, so the sensitive lands ordinance does not come into play. Drainage and water courses, there are no, they've certified this, that all of that is pretty much in place from the three buildings that have been built, so all of that's handled. The vegetation, basically, it's agriculture, so it's basically lawn, which they mow regularly. There's a few existing trees down there, which you may have seen on the Google Earth, and the tree, the whole driveway is lined with trees. This is quite a ways down the, I don't know exactly how far, but probably 100 yards off of the common road, off the Lower Boulder Road, down onto the ranch in this compound where the other three buildings are. The location and the dimensions of the proposed building, we looked at those. And you saw that on the basic drawings. They're one bedroom, they're one couple units. I think there might be a small sleeping unit. Sean can address that, or like a child or something in there. They're really big. The pads are already in, so there's no new roads being built. All the roads exist. So there's no real revegetation issue. So what they'll do, they'll be required to take out a building permit, and they'll have to meet code in terms of setting them on a permanent foundation, whatever the code's going to require there, and then they're going to have to submit all the plans for it, and then attach all the electrical, plumbing and so forth according to code. They're talking about a wooden deck installed on the south side. I'll let Sean go over some of these details about the building and so forth. The off-street parking we covered, that's on the north side there. The roads are existing, and there'll be one additional car per unit because it basically is a very small, I don't know, 300 square foot place. Well, Sean can tell us how many square feet it is, but it's just for a couple and maybe a small child. The water is through Boulder Farmstead Water Company. They already have the meter. They already have talked to Boulder Farmstead Water Company about getting connected, but that'll be part of their building permit too. They'll have to have all of that approved for the building permit. And then they're providing Wi-Fi. Storm water plan was identified above. We talked about landscaping. The construction will be in three, as required under number 8, you've got to set that for us. It'll be project permit approval. So they first need the conditional use permit before they apply for the project approval. Then once they get the project approval, they apply for the county building permit. And then they will, like you said, will put on a foundation, do all the plumbing and wiring. And then the other unit is not purchased yet, but if they get approval, they'll purchase the second tiny house, be basically the same as the one they have. There are no service impact assessments unpaid down there. It's on the culinary water we talked about, that's Boulder Farmstead. The sanitary sewer will be on septic, and they've addressed some anticipated traffic volumes, how many ever trips it would be per day, and the average, Sean can talk about their experience of the average visit on a unit like this. Generally speaking, most visitors are, the experience has shown they're there for a couple of days, sometimes three. A lot of times you average out the stay for 3 days. Generally speaking, they're unoccupied in the winter. The summer is sort of medium occupancy. The shoulder seasons, spring and fall, are high season in these units. At least that's the experience in what I've experienced in Boulder and the general area. And that data is readily available. So parking, people are always concerned about traffic on Lower Boulder Road because it is it is something of a substandard road in spots. And so they'll have to, you know, talk about that. Then the building plans, we looked at those. The plans and the materials are all available if you want to look at them. But since these are prefab units, that's something that they would deal with the building inspector. Submit those plans so that they know how they're plumbed, how the wiring goes, and then how it's connected from the meter and from Boulder Farmstead. And section 1013-1, applicable in a commercial zone, but everything has already been addressed and met that it calls. This is not a commercial zone, this is a GMU zone. So basically there's no additional requirements in section 10-13. So Sean, I can put anything up here that you want me to. Would you like to let's see, what, Colleen, I guess maybe you want to wait till the have the public meeting and then Sean can address it there?
Sure. I wanted to make a comment too. So on 8, a number 8 on B is the permit. So what we're doing tonight is what Sugarloaf Valley Farms wants from us is only an addendum
to add two more units to the conditional use permit that they have. That's the only addition.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
That's correct.
Okay. So then, so can I get a motion then to close the regular meeting and open the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the regular meeting and open up the public hearing. Second, please.
I second it, Cookie.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so the public is here to comment. If they have any questions, Peg will help us figure out who, if there's anyone that has questions for Sean, Curtis. So if the public is welcome to speak. Public hearing.
It's quite quiet out there.
Well,
can you tell how many people are in attendance through this Zoom thing?
Well, we've had a couple more. We have about 18, it looks like.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't see that we have any comments from anyone in the public, so I'm going to make a motion to close.
Colleen, will you hold on just a second? I'm trying to check and see if anybody's raising their hand. We've muted everybody automatically, but for some reason mine's having trouble going back and forth. Give me just 2 seconds.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, please. So I don't see any hands raised. If anybody wants to, you can raise your hand either via the computer or you can just do it in your screen. Nope, I'm not seeing anybody, but...
Just let me know, Michelle, when you...
Time's just really slow to go on. Let me move through things here. Give me just a second. I think we're probably good at this point. I'm not seeing anything.
So I'll make a motion to close the public hearing and return to our regular meeting. Anyone second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so then, does anyone on the... Can you hear the dogs in the background?
Yes.
I might have to move first. I'm going to shut this door. But if anyone on the Planning Commission, does anyone have any comments?
Let the record show the dogs were commenting.
Yeah.
So this is Josie. I was waiting to see if anybody else wanted to go, but I don't see anyone, so I do have a couple of questions and comments. I brought up last month about a conditional use permit being a use and not a development standard. I still stand by that. Curtis sent us an email saying that, and, you know, a guest ranch doesn't fall under those terms. This isn't a GMU where the allowable dwellings is one single-family home or one dwelling plus one ADU per legal lot of record. There's currently three, and that non-conforming use was, quote, grandfathered in. And so we're looking to add an additional two dwellings onto one legal lot of record. And I still argue that doesn't fit under the development standards of that zone. Now, given that a conditional use permit is a temporary permit, meaning that it's not there forever. It can be either revoked, ownership could change, they could decide that it's not feasible, the guest ranch goes away. So if that happens, then we now have five dwellings on one legal lot of record, and I just can't reconcile that. The other thing that I think you need to look at is, you know, when we look at a conditional use permit, we're looking at, you know, all the effects that it has on our state and in our ordinance, and one would be the effect on the residential. And I think, you know, when you look at one permit piece by piece, each individually, those are what I would call a direct effect of whatever that project is. But it's important to look at a cumulative effect. And so when you're looking at the neighborhood, we're looking at Lower Boulder, and as Curtis mentioned, the road is not the best. It's thus far, it's a very narrow road. It's a one-way in, one-way out for all of Lower Boulder. And so traffic is, over the past 25 years, I've seen it's very heavy traffic down here. We have several commercial venues that are they're approved. We have this existing guest ranch. We have the farm for Health.Bill Grill, who have 20 to 50 employees working down there. We have a bed and breakfast. We have two legal RSTRs. There may be more, but as we know of, there's two. So that's a lot of commercial activity already happening down here. And so that's just an additional concern of mine that right now the ranch was approved. Three dwellings, which have 10 rooms, plus an open bed, sleeps, I think we said 25 to 30, Donna reported to us last month, 25 to 30 people. And so, you know, when we're looking at adding another two additional dwellings, I think, you know, we really need to keep in mind the cumulative effect of traffic. And that is my note. That's all I have.
Well, thanks, Josie.
Okay, my comments, this is Matt, are similar on the end of, and I'm referring to more the general plan and what we're trying to uphold. I think the original CUP as it is with the established buildings is a great use, as I, you know, voted for it the first time as a guest ranch. And I, too, am concerned with sort of a cap or a limit in cumulative effects, and when you start adding a couple more units on there because of that traffic flow, because of that one-way road, and, you know, I wonder where a limit happens on that, where you do go from a 10-bedroom to, or 10 beds to a 14-bed sort of setup. It adds up in a residential neighborhood, and, you know, according to the general plan and sort of some of the goals laid out in maintaining the rural heritage and character and responsible growth management, I think we just need to be cautious on how fast or how far we go with each individual property, and keep in mind that it does add up and it does and can infringe on the character of a residential neighborhood and the people that live there. So, thanks.
So this is Cookie. I have a question. As property owners down there, if they wanted to, could they subdivide the whole place and put up residences down there to the tune of, I don't know, what, 1 to 5 acres? I mean, is that the right? I'm just wondering, you know, like, what the alternative is for the property owners, the owner's right to land down there.
I touched on that last month, and yeah, looking at the Garfield County plot map, there are already 7 lots on that ranch, and taking that route would be completely legal on the road.
So are we draining that, a net maybe, and, I mean, you know, looking at the total thing, I realize we want to curb all this, or some people have an agenda about curving more towards open areas, and I totally understand that, but I'm thinking that this might be something that we could work with them on, adding these 2 tiny houses seems like less of an impact than what if push gets to shove and they just go to heck with it. Let's just divide this sucker up and put some houses on it.
My concern would be with setting precedent for future CUP permits. And that's why I mentioned if you did a cluster type of a subdivision and do that cluster subdivision, you put the houses where you're proposing them now, but by clustering, you're preserving the land around them. And that's already in our ordinance.
One comment I would, one answer to Cookie's question, not a comment, but in answer to Cookie's question, I haven't personally looked at the what their current tax notices are, but I think Josie said there was something like 7 different tax notices, 7 different lots of record comprising the ranch. However, under our subdivision ordinance, they would be entitled to come in and configure a subdivision of 5-acre lots, be they clustered or be they snapped on a grid, you know, sliced and diced. But that would be their right under the subdivision ordinance, and they've got 570 acres, so they could subdivide. They could do a lot of substantial subdividing down there under our ordinances, should they wish to do that. But I'll let Sean address all that.
Well, that kind of answers my question. I didn't know what the configuration was down there as far as lots go, but. And I know their intention is not to do that, but, you know, the possibilities, I just like to know what the possibilities are.
Yeah, the possibilities are substantial. They're not constrained by the 7 historic lots of record.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm happy to, at any point in time, to ask questions or answer questions as well, or give kind of the viewpoint that we have, if that helps.
I'd like to hear, like, an overall, your viewpoint.
Yeah, so, good evening, everybody. It's good to be with everybody here. It's kind of fun on Zoom, being here remote and talking about this in a way that I wouldn't have thought of before, in Boulder Town meetings or public hearings. You know, the way we were looking at this is that there was already these cement blocks that have been used after. What they were used for before was they would bring RVs there, 3 RVs, and the Robesons would have very big events with their family doing branding and roping and all kinds of things on the ranch. And it very much functioned like a ranch. You add that additional flex space where it's already hooked up to waters and everything else. So naturally, us looking at those cement pads and saying, you know, what would be a better use for those than RVs? And we thought, well, miniature tiny house units would for the facility. So if you think about it as a guest ranch, and we're just looking at what's there, from an aesthetic standpoint and a usability standpoint, that's a better kind of flexibility for a large family to have a couple extra units. These are very small units. You wouldn't want to live in them. I don't think it's realistic. I know there are people who live in tiny houses, but this is an especially small one, as small as they come. So it's very much more like an extra room. And we do have lots of times where when we've converted this guest transit into a ability to have the economics come from people doing the nightly rentals, it's kind of the obvious business sense is to say, hey, this family's trying to squish in. They're going to bring these two extra people in and put them into the side room or ask us for air mattresses or whatever else. This would really make a lot more sense if they had their room over there and it's already contained in the most consolidated footstep you could. So from the standpoint of getting the economics to work, it's the lowest impact. It's the highest yield, lowest impact you could possibly think of because the infrastructure is pretty much already there. It's a natural use that was designed and used before, and there's no real impact from new development. So we thought this makes a lot of sense. I still think it does, and to address some of the other types of concerns, I'm very sensitive to the road. I mean, I grew up on that road, and I never thought of it as a one-way street, but I do think that there's like a separate issue, which is I'm very understanding of, which is we want to figure out how to manage traffic. We know that the impact of the one family coming with a lot of people is probably going to share cars. So again, you have the least amount of impact because they're all staying together instead of it being separate people or large families. They have the ability to cook, so there's not a lot of travel. We usually see one or two trips most of the time. They like the view. It's a beautiful place. I'd love to give a tour for anybody, I think, if you ever want to. But it's pretty much once you're there, you stay, you cook, clean and pick up and leave. So I don't think that's nearly as impactful as some of the other things that could be done. I think probably the ranching, you see the trucks with the ranching go up and down even 4 or 5 times more than the guests do that just want to stay there. So I don't see that as a huge consideration. I will be totally honest with you, and I think the comment that was brought up about the subdivision was a good question because we've looked at it all over the place and you don't have a lot of alternatives if you're looking at how to make something function. Being somebody from Boulder who's always been passionate about wanting to find the best way to find economics from Boulder, I think people can attest to that with, if you've known what I've worked on, with how to grow fruits, vegetables, and anything else we can find to produce from the area, it would be ideal if we could make all of the revenue come from producing cattle and food and other things from the land, but I think everybody here probably knows that the reality is you need some tourism and economics to make it work. The only other alternative that I think could exist is subdividing, which would be, I wouldn't feel good about it, and I do understand that that's the reality. I want everybody to know that would not ever be something that we would want to do. We would definitely look for all other ways to make the businesses work to take care of it so it has the ability to keep up on the roads, to maintain the beauty of it, but not have people move in permanently. Once you subdivide, it's a permanent change. So I really feel this is the smartest thing we could do, and I understand the concerns, and I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'm thankful to be here with everybody.
Thank you, Josh. Sean. Sorry. Thank you, Sean.
I just wanted to clarify on the traffic, the one-way road. I meant one way in, one way out, and it's a safety term. It's ingress and egress. So in the event of an emergency, there's only one way in, one way out. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so the only comment that I have to make basically is that when we go back to the guest ranch, why this is the definition of a guest ranch and why it's so important that we're doing the table of uses, and we need to change the definition of a guest ranch add a little bit more to it, but we haven't done that yet. We're still working on that. And so I feel that we need to go ahead with this addendum, adding the two buildings, because I don't really feel that we have any leg to stand on to deny it. And so with that being said, and the comments that we have heard tonight, I haven't really heard, and I appreciate all of the comments. So what I'm going to do is, excuse me, I have all these papers. Go ahead and take a vote on whether we add an addendum for the two. Do I need to take a vote, Curtis?
You want to put that forward, you make a motion to
okay, approve, that's what I thought.
To approve okay. The application.
The addenda. Okay, because I want to. So what I want to do then is make a motion to approve the addendum to the existing conditional use test ranch permit, adding two additional units to the ranch, increasing the total from 3 to 5. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
We'll need a voice roll call vote on this.
Okay. Colleen Thompson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Josh Dolan, aye.
Josh, you don't get to vote. You're not on the Planning Commission.
Oh, right.
You confused me for just a minute.
Matt Cochran, I'm going to vote no.
Jesse News, no.
She's muted.
Oh. Haley, you're muted.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Okay, so we have 3 aye and 2 nay. Is that correct?
Yep.
So we will send that. So it's Curtis, did you get the wording on that okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I pretty much used what was right in there just to make it a little easier.
Right. No, you were fine.
Okay.
Just made a motion to approve the application.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what we just did, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
3 to 2.
Okay. So, I guess we'll move on to that. Thank you all for showing up and being a part of that, and all your comments. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. And then we're now going to discuss the RSTR mapping status with Michela. There you are. Okay.
So I'm not quite finished to the point where I'd like to publish it. It's a little bit messy. I'm using an application called Onyx Maps. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it's typically used for hunting and off-road, but it basically shows, it's really great in the case of Boulder because it shows all of the private versus public lands, forest and all of that stuff. So in combination with the plat maps that we have, I'm just creating a spreadsheet that shows the different districts, and I'm calling them districts. I don't know what they're technically called in the ordinance, but to define all of the residents in upper, middle, and lower Boulder. So it's looking better. It's I've made a lot of progress, but it's still quite messy, and I've got some questions for both the county recorder, some that Judy can answer. It's information that doesn't match what we show on. Yes, go ahead, Curtis.
I'm sorry. These lights. I'm just keeping my eyes on the light. Sorry. I'm just going to pull back here. Listen.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at. I would like to have one more, you know, like a question and answer with Curtis on some things. And then, like I said, I still have some things to clarify with the county recorder and the records that we have in town versus, you know, what's on file. Because there are a few discrepancies in landholding. You know, it lists an owner that we don't show. So, anyway, making progress.
Great. Great. Does anyone have any comments?
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a lot to think through.
It's pretty interesting work, actually. The one question I did have, I think once we get this kind of, I mean, the definition in the ordinance of the boundaries is pretty clear, but the thing that this will allow us to do is to kind of draw an overlay on our map of Boulder. So I'm looking forward to that.
Alright, good. Do you think you'll be ready? Should we put you back on the agenda for next month?
That would be great.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so Peg will put you back on the agenda next month, and I'm looking forward to it, to seeing this map. I think there's going to be a lot of cool information on it. Okay, so the next item that we have is an update on the work groups, the table of uses. I'm not sure if Matt or Josie, you want to...
I'll stay here. Let's see. We just met again. We're in the final editing stages. We're going to meet in 2 weeks, and then right before the next... PC, and by then we will have a working document to start reviewing, and you know, to at that point, I think it would be great to integrate with what everyone is doing with Lee Nellis, of course, and we can compare and contrast and integrate and make a, I suppose, a formal document from that. But yeah, so we're close. Any questions?
I just want to say thank you so much for sending us even your worksheet. It was kind of helpful just to look at it. And boy, you guys have done a lot of work. I can tell there's a lot that has gone into this. My hat's off to you.
Well, thank you. And yeah, and like Michelle said, for her document, ours is a little messy now, but I think you'll be quite content, or you know, at least happy with its readability by the time we get it to everyone in the month here. So, we'll probably have a. I was thinking, Pete asked me, we may have a. I'm going to try and get a copy in the interim set up, because I'm going to attend next when the Tuesday workshop is, and so you guys can actually review some of what we're doing in order to prep too. Sound good?
Great. Yeah, just on that, we don't, from our meeting today, we don't have anything new to ask what's been added to the Dropbox. So we're doing some edits. I have a deadline in a week, and then it goes to Matt for his work. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and then after my work, I'll get a copy of that almost complete out. Thanks.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds great. So we'll put that on the agenda next month, too. And then, Curtis, does anyone else have anything to say about the table of uses?
Do we have a work meeting? Is it Tuesday the 19th, Peg?
Yes, 7 o'clock on the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah. And is that still good with you, Lee?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then we'll have more information for you at that time. Okay. Okay. Let's see. So, is that all the comments for the table of uses? So let's go ahead and discuss upcoming business for June 11th.
We were going to talk also about the other work group.
What other work group?
The Nellis work group.
Oh. Well, that's what I did. Does anybody else have any comments that, like Lee or, I mean, I, Curtis, did you, I mean, I feel like we're going to start putting this together. Is this kind of how we wanted to do it? Lee, are you okay with the information that you're getting, that you got tonight?
I think the way things are evolving is fine at this point. We're going to have to see what everyone has done. We've had a fairly specific focus in the work that we've done together so far, and you know, we're going to continue. I asked you all to do some homework and think about some questions before Tuesday next week, and I think we'll take it from there, starting with the procedural question about how really is best to accommodate commercial uses. I think the conversation tonight about the addition to the guest ranch highlights, you know, that there are big questions, setting aside most of the specifics about this project, which are pretty straightforward. There is the need to say, how do you deal with a big question like the capacity of that road? And I think maybe we need to, and I'm thinking about that at the moment, we're going to need to have some of those big questions addressed, but it's not in the context of a specific application, right? The applicant's entitled to the ordinance the way it's written. Boom. Okay. If we want to rewrite things, then we need to talk about that without always referring back to the application, especially an application that's pending and you know, is in play. And I have a memo that I will send out to Peg and Curtis at some point tomorrow, you know, setting us up like I always do for the Tuesday meeting, and I'm going to put just a couple of words, nothing heavy duty, in there about what information we might need to start trying together about access for some of these proposed uses.
And are you on the Dropbox list?
I'm not on the Dropbox list, no.
Josie, could you, because you don't...
I've got it printed out. I'll send it to Lee right now.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that way you'll have that information.
That would be great.
And then we'll add them too, because as we keep things updated, I'll add him. I didn't realize he was there.
Thank you, Josie.
Yeah.
Lee, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I said what I had to say.
Okay.
We'll continue the way that we've continued. Hopefully, you guys will have some thoughts in response to the questions that I post to you, and we'll make a couple more decisions about what a draft might look like, and just go along the process the way we've been doing it.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Okay, Peg, so...
Maybe I just sent you the Dropbox information, and
okay.
And also, because we have some new people joining us on Tuesday, potentially, I hope, just, you know, to continue this exercise to see how this works. So could you resend me, just to make sure I'm on the same page with you, could you resend me your questions and whatever so I can forward them to those folks?
Yes, I can send out the memo that we had for the last meeting along with the memo for this coming meeting in the morning. And like I said, I think I need, not that we're going to be able to spend time on it on Tuesday necessarily, but in order to foreshadow a pretty important question, I want to draw drop in a couple of words about evaluating commercial uses and you know the relationship between those uses and roads that have limited capacity, and what type of information we might want to really generate to base those conversations on. So it'll just be some thoughts at this point in time, and we'll focus on the questions we had about commercial uses on Tuesday evening, and hopefully, like I said, to reach a point where we have some things to put in the draft.
Okay. Okay, so can we talk about upcoming business? Okay, so that this will be on the agenda, right?
Yep.
Next month. Okay, so will we have Jackie Smalling next month? Do you think we'll be to the point where we'll have an open meeting by next month?
I doubt it, but I think we should plan on Zoom. I don't know. She has talked about having some people, I think Chuck Flake, I think, was going to come to town if we had a town meeting, but right now I'd say we're probably heading to another Zoom meeting, most likely. But I believe, Curtis, I believe we have all the documentation we need to proceed with the public hearing, right? And Jackie did want to get some information out to people, like Tess had asked about, she had some questions. So there is information to put out, and I was going to post things on the board when I can get there.
Okay. So that would probably be one of the first things that we'd want to put on the agenda, right? If it's going to happen next month?
Oh, yeah. Usually we do public hearings first.
Yeah, okay. And then after that, then we'll have Michela. And then we would have the table of use discussion. So that would be three items to begin with. Correct?
Correct. And I would suggest that the table of uses is strategizing where to go from where we're at.
Okay.
With both groups.
Okay. And we'll know after the meeting on Tuesday a little bit more, too. So is that it, Ted?
That's all I have right now, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So then we'll open it up for any more final public comments.
I have a comment.
Okay.
I think you guys should talk more. I think just because you're on video, it seems like you're never this quiet.
Very humble
in there. Well, that's why I'm really hoping that, you know, it'd be great if we could figure out some way to do a public meeting. I don't know how we could do it by June, whether we went out. I mean, it's hugely different. It's vastly different, you know, as far as a Zoom meeting and being even in an open building where we would wear masks or be 6 feet apart, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think our building would accommodate that, and outdoors you can't hear anything. So we're kind of stuck unless we get, you know, able to move into indoor space.
Right. So, I mean
this isn't bad. We did have
lessons or something. I might feel a little better about it, but
yeah. The one good thing that was added this time was the ability that people could call in on a toll-free number, but I don't think anyone did.
Right.
So,
and we might next time.
And maybe next time, yeah. So, but again, that was all advertised as much as it's on the town website. It was on Pegboard. It was on Utah Public Meeting Notice. It was posted in the physical places. I don't know, you know, people, I think, had as much ability to find out about this meeting and to call in if that's what they wanted to do. I don't know what more we can do. Word of mouth? I don't know.
What did you say, Sean?
Are you saying we're boring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Haley looks beautiful on TV.
Matt, did you have a thumb up? Did
Thank
you want to
have a thumb
Did you have anything you wanted to say, Matt, or were you just agreeing?
No, I was just appreciating you guys getting it up on toll-free and so on, so everyone can have access to
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, on your table of use meeting, did people call in using that way, or the meeting you just had?
I actually don't know.
Oh.
Did you have a Zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We've been Zooming for a while, too, as long as you guys have.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so do we have any other public comments? Okay, so I see we don't have any more public comments, so do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make that motion that we adjourn.
Okay, all in favor?
Someone has to second. Who seconded? Oh. Matt? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Haley, in favor.
Aye.
Okay. Thanks, Michela.
Thank you. It was good to
Thank
see you,
Sean. Everyone. Sorry I was so quiet. Little children running around in the background. I had to keep, you know. But if I needed to say something, I would have.
Well, good, Haley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you Tuesday.
Bye. Good night.
Michela, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm turning off the recording.
Okay.